This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Frida Liu. It's Raise Your Game. Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting in our Finding Your Strengths series. Today we're talking about, we've heard this before. There is no I in team, and the weakest link, the team is only as strong as the weakest link. And this phrase has been used very often, and especially to address particular individuals, right, to buck up because this individual is going to affect the whole team.
Yeah.
And you're saying that this is not the case.
Well, it should be a better case because our normal response, Freda, when the team is not performing, we tend to look for the weak ones and we tell them that, hey, you better step up and take up whatever role you need to in order to help the team for the greater good. You know, sometimes it's like this. When one team member resigns, usually the manager will take this as an opportunity to cut costs and save money and reassign the roles and asking the other team members to go the extra mile. Right. But if every mile we take is the extra mile, then you're going to have the backlash of poor morale and poor productivity. That's why I don't agree with the statement that says the team is only as strong as the weakest link. Actually, the team is only as strong as every contributing link.
True, right? I mean, it's if otherwise everybody's going to be weak anyway in the process.
Yeah.
And it's an easy excuse, I guess, let's spread the load, you're good at this and you're good at that. And sometimes as a manager, you're saying, we really have to cut costs. What then?
The cutting costs, Freda, it's always a short-term solution.
Mm-hmm.
The long-term solution is that if you want your team to be a high-performing team, the mistake we make, Freda, is this. In the name of paying attention to the weak players, we take the stronger players for granted.
Hmm.
I hope the listeners out there would take this to heed. Just because your strong members keep quiet, they are doing their job day in, day out, consistently putting in the effort and the hours, we take them for granted. We tend to think that no news is good news.
Hmm.
And we only respond when someone suddenly resigns.
Yeah.
But that's a bit too late. While it is important that you train up the weak ones, don't forget your strong ones because they are the ones that's going to bring your team to the next level.
It's usually the strong, silent type, right? And that's the issue when it's the silent type. And they just leave, right? And you're saying, and then they have this, and you find that all out at the exit interview.
That's right. That is because, Freda, a lot of managers take a look at their whole job as a numbers game. I mean, if you take a look at your managerial job as a numbers game, then of course, you will only look to your people to produce and you keep applying pressure on them. What I'd like to encourage managers is to change your paradigm. Don't look at your job as a numbers game. Look at it as a scoring game. Mm-hmm. Look at it as a scoring game. Now, let's say if I'm a football coach and I want to score as many goals as possible, and if my striker goes down, I get my defender to take his place. Okay? Now, the defender can only take up the striker role for a certain period of time, after which he must revert back to his strengths.
Mm.
The thing is, some managers put the goalkeeper to play the striker's role and just because the goalkeeper doesn't make any noise, he assumes that the goalkeeper can score goals, but by right, the goalkeeper's strength is in goalkeeping, you see? So when you readjust roles and responsibilities in your organization, regularly have conversations with your employees that is strengths-based. Always talk about their strengths because they might be going the extra mile, but it might not be in the direction of their strengths.
In this case, silence is not golden.
No, silence is not golden, and don't don't interpret silence as consent sometimes. You do need to regularly engage with your employees just to make sure that they're happy being a goalkeeper, they're happy being a striker. Or if they are a striker playing the role of a goalkeeper, make sure you set certain expectations up front. Okay, you will be only goalkeeping for 2 months, then after that I'll bring you back and we will do this and we will do that. People can go through a period of suffering if there's light at the end of the tunnel. Don't ever put your employees in a position where it's a dark cell and there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
Or the light at the end of the tunnel is in another company.
That's when they search for their own light, you see.
All right. Now, a good team member does whatever it takes to help the team. So you're saying that, is that true or not?
Well,
the greater good.
A good team member should deliberately volunteer his strengths to the team most of the time. You know, Freda, we need to take away that fallacy in thinking that we can make a person to be well-rounded. There is actually no such thing as a well-rounded person, but only a well-rounded team.
Right.
You cannot expect your employee to be filling in whatever gaps that exist.
The one-leg kick all strategy.
Yes, that's not realistic. At the end of the day, that kick might just hit you from the behind and
knock you in your head.
And it knocks the whole team down, you see. So you must create a work environment whereby team members have the opportunity to do what they do best every day. Now, realistically speaking, there might be certain periods where they need to take on other roles.
Yeah.
But that should not be a long-term placement.
Right. As you mentioned that it can't be long-term. You give them the light at the end of the tunnel. This is only going to be for this period. Because the one part of me says the old school thinking is roll up your sleeves and just do the work.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a part of me.
Yeah.
But I can understand if you do something for so long that's just not you, you just, you know, drains the life out of you.
Exactly. You can do the work, you can roll up the sleeve, but it is always in relation to an overall plan.
Mm.
Share the whole battle plan with your team. Then they will know what parts they play, for how long, and what's coming up next.
Right.
Expectations is key.
Okay, and we'll go a little deeper into, from a strengths development perspective, your definition of teamwork in just a moment. Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting is Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Brilliant Financial Mentors, BFM 89.9.
Good morning, it's Race Again. This is Frida Liu, Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting here. It's the Finding Your Strength series, and today we're debunking the myth of the weakest link and how it's your fault if the team fails. Not true. And also that, you know, but what about there's no I in team? There is. I mean, it really is every individual that we have to look at finding their strengths, and then that makes a well-rounded team.
Well, Michael Jordan was reported to say that while there's no I in the word team, but there's the word I in the word win.
Oh, okay.
So in forming a team, you've got to realize that each team member cannot be anything that they want to be, but each team member can only become more of who they already are. That is the basis of this whole series on strengths assessment. This is the missing link, the missing conversation that managers are not having with their subordinates, a strengths-based conversation to find out how the employee is naturally wired.
Mm.
What are his natural talent teams? What are the strengths he display? Because when a manager knows his team members very well, very much like a football coach, then he knows right placements, and that is called fit.
Mm.
In the absence of this paradigm, we have a lot of misfits in the organization.
And we're busy finding their weaknesses. Now, so from a strengths development perspective, what's your definition of teamwork?
Well, teamwork, it's a situation where each team member is able to volunteer his strengths towards the overall achievement of the team's goals. Now, what works against it is this, is when managers think that team members are interchangeable.
Hmm.
You know, team members are just dots on the organization chart. I can rearrange them like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, but it is
like
not
pawns in a chess
simple.
Game. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, just because the other person can do the job well doesn't mean I can necessarily fit into his shoes.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it is the manager's responsibility to assess the individual strengths of his team member, very much like what a football coach would do.
Okay, now for the employee who is asked to step up and contribute more when another team member resigns, how then can you balance between individual strengths and corporate responsibility?
Well, this is where communication is important. And managers and leaders have to understand that at the end of the day, the key word is not just communication or stepping up to the plate. The key word here is engagement. We need to engage with our employees to make sure that we know where they're coming from. We need to engage with employees to understand what are their strengths. We need to engage with employees to find out what they do best every day. We need to engage with our employees to find out what sort of opportunity that they are looking for. And within that framework, when we engage with our employees, then we know how to place them and put them in an area where they flourish. But in the event that we need to place them in an area that is not in their strengths, then we need to communicate to them that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Hmm. You know, I actually did that survey that you gave me, the Strengths Finder, and in this case, right, I knew my top five. Normally, when you work with people, do you go through all 34 of it, or do you just focus on the five key strengths so that you work on your five strengths, or do you spend time on all 34?
Well, the 34 traits is the complete traits that comes out as a result of a 30-year research done by Gallup with 2 million interviews. In these 34 traits, we only concentrate on our top five.
Mm-hmm.
Because that top five explains how you are naturally wired. This is how you would naturally think, behave, and act. The trouble with most organizations is that they just focus on training needs analysis. I've got this program lineup. I'm going to send my employees for this training and that training. But they don't start off from the premise of the employee's natural talents.
Hmm.
Let's say, for example, I do not have the analytical talent and you keep sending me for training or reading financial reports and so on, I may improve in my financial reporting strength, but that's going to be an incremental improvement.
As opposed to exponential.
Yeah, let's say I'm cut out to be communicative, selling and presenting myself. And if you sent me to a marketing or a sales class with that same amount of investment time and money, I will flourish.
Hmm.
I will flourish. So I find that a lot of the talent management or skill mapping exercise in the company is very academic and dry in nature. What drives training needs analysis is the organizational needs. That's the wrong starting point. You must start off with the individual talent.
Okay, so I guess also at the same time, when you look at 34, you also know what's at the bottom and you say, oh, that's why the person isn't flourishing, because, you know, the individual is working in an area that requires skill number 34 in that person's individual rank, and so it's the wrong fit.
Yeah. Well, one clear example, it's when a child brings home his report card and shows it to daddy and mommy, you know, you have five subjects there, you know, A, B, D. Statistics shows us that 77% of parents will focus on the D. If they have 100 ringgit to spend on the child's development, they will spend 80 ringgit on the D and the 20 ringgit on the Dunline line. But actually, what the parent should be doing is to spend 80 ringgit on the A's and say that, hey, you did very poorly on your maths. I'm not saying that maths is not important, but let's just manage your weakness. You know, we will do enough to help you reach a certain standard, but I really want you to focus on language because that's where you thrive. And instead of trying to be so well balanced, my child knows karate, ballet while standing on one hand and swing golf like Tiger Woods at the same time, you might as well train okay. your kids to excel in the area of languages right. if that's where their strength is.
And I guess when you look at your my son, when it's a constant D throughout, you know he's very well-rounded.
And don't beat your head on the wall and say, why does my son consistently get a D in maths? Hey, focus on the A's.
If I can find them. This is the father. Now, if the manager focuses on individual strengths, now, then wouldn't this breed self-centeredness and irresponsibility as well?
I think the reverse is true, because I have never seen a case where an employee says to me...
Okay, they may say things like, well, that's not my strength, ma.
Yeah.
I don't know why you make me do this. Okay, good.
Well, the strengths assessment, the strengths finder assessment, is to help you find out areas of leadership where you thrive. Now, that doesn't mean you forget about your weaknesses. The approach is to focus on your weakness and to manage your strengths.
On your strengths.
Focus on your strengths and manage your weaknesses. Yeah, manage your weaknesses. Meaning, while I'm focusing on my strengths, I got to have strategy to focus on to manage my weaknesses. For example, I'm not good at numbers. Mm. So I outsource all my accounting and so on to an accounting company that does it for me. So I focus on what I do best, and that's training and consulting. Not that I cannot fiddle with numbers, but when I fiddle with numbers, I sweat.
Okay.
I sweat. So I would rather manage that. But there will be situations whereby the weakness itself is fatal. Mm. For example, if I'm in a sales job and and I just don't have the I am not wired to communicate. I am not wired to touch base with people. I'm more wired to deal with numbers and being at the back office. Now, that then becomes a fatal weakness. And that's when the manager and the employee needs to engage in a conversation of relocation. How can I help you to relocate to an area where you will thrive? So sometimes when you have this strengths-based conversation with your employees, it is not always about promoting him upwards. Sometimes it is about relocation. Sometimes it's about shaking hands and letting them go.
All right. Okay. Next week, what are we touching on?
Well, next week, we're going to talk about money and compensation. Because some people might say, Joseph, all this talk about strengths and engaging with your employees takes such a long time. Why not I just throw in an extra 20% for them? That will surely make them move. Isn't that a better solution?
But you're saying no. Okay, we'll find out next week. Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting in our Finding Your Strengths series. Tomorrow, we're moving on to sales. Ray Poon from Power Up Success joins us as the poem, Successful Salespeople, the Four Essential Steps to Sales Success Stories. We've gone to the M in poem, and it's Managing the Customer. Steve Miliband, The Joker, is up next, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to BFM.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.